This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yes. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
I want Motormouth Radio. All right.
So want it dead or alive.
Dead or alive, and you got it. You got Long Island's only automotive talk show, Motormouth Radio, with your hosts Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, and we are here on this soggy Sunday to entertain and to help educate you with your car concerns and some other stuff, because you might just learn something.
You might just learn something, yeah, exactly. The only show to officially poke your eye out.
The prophetic words of our friend Chassis John, God rest his soul. Yes, we.
Yes.
You might learn something. So.
You just learned something. You see, come over here. You might just learn something.
Said as only John could say, as a matter of fact.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's, we're here for another ruckus hour of fun and frolic.
Yes.
We're going to talk about some cool stuff.
I got to start this show off right. So we're in the middle of a like shopping season, I guess you could say, once, and I have been looking for vehicles. Every once in a while, I take a look for a project vehicle in the classified ads, Facebook Marketplace. Or,
you just got one. What are you doing?
Yeah, right, exactly. What? That's because I like pain.
Yeah.
You like to bite into the canker sore every once in a while. But anyway, I have a small list of classified advertising turnoffs.
Right.
Things that totally turn you off. Like I've always lamented, you look at some project cars that people are trying to sell and they're asking a lot of money and you should go to their house with a shovel because they have all their parts in boxes and everything is scattered all over the garage. So basically you pay them to clean their garage. That's what you're doing. So that's the first turnoff. The second turnoff I've come to realize are big wheels. What is this with the big wheels, Ray? What is every, have these individuals not grown up? Does everybody want to drive an oversized matchbox car? What in the world is going on with these things?
You're talking about like a donk, correct?
Yeah, but even on a, some individuals are stuffing these huge wheels under stock suspension systems.
Ooh,
they have to be. I don't think any of these things are modified at all. They're the donks that are just incredibly strange, which I still don't understand those. I always think, hey, I'm not the demographic. But anyway, the third thing and the most irritating thing are those individuals that post the price of their vehicle in mint condition.
Yeah, they're all green, I know.
So you're looking at this Hulk that's sitting in a lake, and they're saying, well, this car is worth $100,000 if it was mint. Instantly, I want to reach through the computer screen and go for a throat.
Right.
I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Really? Then why, if that's how much it's worth, then why don't you just do it yourself, you fool? So I'm on a roll.
Yeah, I got you. That's been something that we've all been irritated with for a long time. And I'll tell you what, I know our listeners get irritated, too, because they tell us, and they can, if you want to tell us that you're irritated, you can give us a call at 516-572-7440, or you could, well, what you could do if you want to see how the other things that irritate us, check us on social media. Of course, we're Motormouth Radio on Facebook and on the web and on Twitter, and we're Real_Motormouth Radio on Instagram, where you'll find some interesting things this weekend.
Yes, some recipes I see. Very nice. Tasty rice balls.
A friend of mine said, hey, you know, why don't you put up other stuff? Because, you know, you do car stuff, but, you know, you say that we want to... people can see what you guys do after the show, and I'm sure you do more than just that. And I said, you know, you're right. So yesterday, my wife and I made some really nice Italian wedding soup and some rice balls. And those rice balls are Mama Luke's. They're like cannonballs. But we finally got the recipe right. You know, finally got, like, and everybody who's made rice balls has told me this. You'll never get it right the first time. You'll always say it. And we did that. We went through numerous, and then we just didn't do it for a long time because we said, why put the work in for a letdown? Well, now we got it right. And you can see that on those social media platforms. It's up there.
Quick
video
now.
And all. Oh, let me tell you, you would like it. But, and another thing that's been going on is, you know, now that I've been divesting my time with things, doing a little more electronic repair.
I was going to say you're part of the man of leisure, I guess you could say. You are part
far
of the
from leisure. Far from leisure. I've been so busy that the time change hasn't affected me this year.
Oh, wow. You just look at the clock and go. That's it. You're not even... The repercussions, the ramifications of the last week's hour change did not affect you.
No, I was sitting, and I thought about it. I sit there in the afternoon, and there's a certain show I watch from 5 to 6 every night. So, of course, Adam 12, I have to watch that, even though I've seen him 9 million times. And,
don't understand, but hey.
And my good friend Isaac from the Thursday Night Show, he just found out in Arizona in a used bookstore 2 seasons of the DVDs I didn't have, so he sent them to me. So now I have pretty much a full set. But anyway, I was sitting there, and of course, now the sun is down by 5, and I said, and it hit me one day, why don't I have that normal winter depression that I always get this time of year?
And because you gave it to me. Now I have.
Oh, yeah, and it was pretty bad at times. I mean, I really had it. Yeah. I did have it bad. And then I realized why. I'm getting everything done during the day. I'll go out, do stuff in the morning, go out with my wife. We can do some shopping, do some things here and there. Then many times I've even said to her, like, oh, wow, like, look, oh, it's only 1 o'clock. I can do this other thing I wanted to do now. So by the time I sit down, I'm done already. I've done a full day's worth.
So what time are you waking up in the morning? Like, what, at 4?
No, with the farmers? No, 7 o'clock. No, nothing crazy. But, you know, I guess, I'm going to say I don't think I'm overdoing it with anything. I'm just kind of, you know, taking care of business. It's like, you know, stuff around the house, the projects that I have in and around the house, outside and things like that, going down to the shop, got some stuff going on over there. And then I find that, wow, there's still time to do more if you want. And the beauty of it is, if I don't want to do it today, well, I'll do it tomorrow. There's no sense of urgency of like, oh, get it done because I got to drive the car to work. But no, do it tomorrow or the next day. It's freeing. So,
Motormouth Radio, Confessions of a Man of Leisure.
Oh, I tell you, it really is. It's great stuff. But it's let me do some of this other stuff. And like I said, I've been getting back into some of the audio repair.
Right.
We were just talking about your microphone. We're going to, I wish I could get my hands on that. I'd look at it. But I bought a tool. I bought a bunch of tools, but I bought a tool for that hobby that I always wanted and never got. I bought a desoldering tool.
You bought a solder sucker.
Well, no, let me specify. I have the manual solder suckers that spring-loaded vacuum tool, right? No, I bought a electric-powered vacuum tool, so it's a gun. You put it over the... Because now if you're taking chips out or components, yeah, like I did a repair on a Sensui amplifier, a receiver, and I had to take the STK chip out. It had like 16 pins. You can't get that manual solder sucker over the pins in the middle. It's too wide. So the tool has a smaller diameter. You put it over the pin. You bring it right down to the board level. It heats the solder, and you pull the trigger. It goes and just sucks that solder right up.
Ooh.
So I
Supreme solder sucker.
I treated myself to one of those so I could do more circuit work now. So now I'm repairing more audio gear that I wanted to take care of.
Supreme solder sucker for your circuit. I got it.
Yes. Now you're getting it. You see, now you're getting it. So again, you know, you need tools that are going to help you do whatever it is that you're doing. And there's, you know, there's a lot of, these are just audio related tools and electronic related tools. So of course, Matco Man Brian did grace me with a box of Matco stuff that I've been amassing since last March. And
right. And
I had to get back to him and say, hey, Brian, I said, there's a bunch of stuff missing. He goes, no, that's only the first box. There's another one coming. This one had the ice cream bowls and the mugs and all the cool stuff. So.
The Matco tool service for six. Right.
But I will tell you about a tool I got from Matco. We just talked about it briefly before the show, Chris. You know, many times you have to service a brake line on the car.
You
know,
oh, yeah.
Because the long line that runs the length of the car, it has a hole. And, you know, you're not going to change the whole line. So all you have to do is a repair.
On some cars, it's almost impossible, but you'd have to pull the body off the frame just to change the line the correct way.
Right.
On some GM vehicles. On the Chrysler products, it's right there.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what else is right there, the phone. So let's go to the phone and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Joe, how are you? Joe Undertaker.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
How are you, my brother?
Talking about desoldering, I got a question for you.
Okay.
My problem is that one of the wires... rear window. Hang on a second. Let me.
Yeah, I think you better turn your radio. Turn your radio up. We'll get that feedback.
Boy, when have you ever said that on the air? When have you ever said that on the air? Right.
Anyhow, tell Joe that because he knows. He won't do it.
So the rear window the fogger is giving me problems. One of the wires snapped off. And I'm trying to figure out which is better, trying to desolder it or use the paste glue.
Okay, Joe, I had that problem in my daughter's Stratus. Chris, well, I don't know if you heard Joe, the rear side, the grid, he's got to fix the grid, the wires on the grid. And the problem is to get in there with soldering equipment is very tough, especially like on her car, the back window is very sharp angle. And Joe mentioned the paste. Yes, I bought this stuff. I have it at home. I can't, you know, I moved this car 9,000 times. It's a cold soldering paste that you can buy. And you apply it and you put a little bit of heat on it with like a hair dryer or something, and it'll automatically kind of do like a cold, you know, cold solder joints are bad. But in this case, this is a way you can use solder without having a high heat application.
Right.
I would say that was my go-to, Joe, because I just couldn't get a soldering iron up in there to really affect that repair.
Well, it's on a hatch, so it's not really a problem getting to it. My worry is that... you try and know when it's cold, glass is cold, I'll wind up shattering the whole thing.
Yeah, I can see that because you're going to put heat to it. Well, you could, you know, well, then what you do is I would take, again, a hairdryer, and just with a hairdryer, heat the glass. Just put some, you know, I'm not going to make it, 200 degrees. Just kind of warm up the glass. A day like today is perfect. It's going to be 60 degrees here on Long Island. You know, and
it's going to be wet.
Well, yeah, you got to do it before it rains.
Right.
And I was able to do that, yeah. But again, I defaulted to the paste because I had the issue. I just couldn't get in there. So,
don't they have dielectric glue or something?
What was that, Joe? A dielectric somebody?
Glue.
Like a glue? Yeah. Well, this stuff is like a paste or a glue. I don't have the name. You know, if you send an email to motormouthradio@ncc.edu, our email account, I can email you the information with a picture.
And Joe, do me a favor. Don't build the phone yourself.
No, I think Joe's in a bunker when he calls on Sundays. He's working a super secret job, and he doesn't get good reception. Yeah.
So, I don't know what's going on. I'm getting feedback.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Thanks for the call, and keep in touch.
Yeah.
All right.
Just to know how you solve that problem.
Right. So, yeah, that's a tough one. I was in that spot, and that's hard to do. It's hard to fix a grid on a window in a car.
because you got to apply heat to the glass or close to the glass. And I'm with Joe. I'm afraid of false move. And glass has got a mind of its own.
Yeah, glass is really, really tough. And in this specific car, in this Stratus, we had a weirdo, you may remember this, it was a few years ago, a number of years ago, we had a weirdo problem with that. I came out to the car one day, and all the windows were blackened. And what happened is the audio amplifier, the factory amplifier under the seat got wet, it shorted out, and it sent a Mama Luke signal that went to the rear left speaker. And the speaker literally melted out of the deck lid and melted into the trunk floor, but blackened that rear glass. There had to be a fire. It had to be. And I don't, but the car didn't light up on fire, which is amazing. And that glass took all that direct heat from the speaker because it's right under it. And, you know, glass, tempered glass is strong stuff. It really is. So I think just to do a couple of solder repairs, if you can get to them, you know, that's the problem, is getting to it. So,
because I one time had a piece of framed glass, and I tried to solder one of the brackets on the framed glass. I tried to solder it back on because it had rusted off way back in my teen years. And I shattered the glass with the soldering iron, just heating up the frame of the glass itself. It was a piece of flat passenger side window glass.
Okay.
And I shattered it. Boom.
Yeah.
With just the soldering iron. So I'm still a little skittish about doing stuff like that.
That's why I think the soldering paste, the cold paste, is a good application for that stuff, because you're not putting heat into it at all. And it does work. It does make a nice bond. So.
Yep. Very true. And that's smart. That was smart thinking. I wasn't even going there. I figured try and just be as careful as you can with the heat, with the heat source. But talking about tools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to give you a line.
All right.
I used a tool for the first time in my automotive career this week.
Okay.
Would you believe it? Yes.
And what was it?
It's something you probably have millions of, and you know exactly where they are in your tool bench. I went and purchased a claw foot wrench. You needed the set of the
claw
foot.
You mean crow's foot? Yeah.
Crow's foot wrench.
Oh,
thank
sure.
You.
I've had crow's feet for years, yeah.
Yes, I know.
The podiatrist said it can't be cured. I'm just stuck with them.
Right. I was going to say, it's why you're walking funny.
Right.
But I needed a crow's foot wrench for the first time. I pulled the coolant temp sensor out of the tracker. Yeah, got it out of there. What a pain in the keister that was.
Was it what because of where it is or because of how tight it was?
Because of where it was, both.
Yeah, okay.
It was literally between the back of the engine, back of the engine, and the firewall, and about a foot and a half straight down.
Wow.
So yeah, it was not an easy task to get, but I was able to accomplish it with a crow's foot wrench.
Sure.
Because of that space, that narrow space. And everything was around it. It was incredible. You had the transmission line and the transmission cable, the throttle cable was right over it. There was a wiring harness right over it. Everything, you couldn't get a hand in there. You were barely able to get the clip off the coolant temp sensor. In itself, removing the clip from it was a chore.
That's a whole show in itself on how to take clips apart, because now different manufacturers use different different, you know, methods,
attachment procedures.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that drives me the nuts on newer cars is figuring out how to get the different clips apart. So you had to go buy a set of crow's feet wrench, I guess.
I did.
Where did you go?
I actually, at first, I went over to Harbor Freight.
Okay.
And I didn't know the size of it. That was the thing. I just bought a set. And I spent a lot of money.
Did you?
And I came back to the house and I went, yeah, it's the wrong size. So that got put aside. So I ended up getting a set because it was yesterday afternoon, I got a set at Advanced Auto Parts.
Oh, wow.
And I got a nice deal on them. They're called like Super Duper or something. That's the name I never heard of.
Right, right.
But they look like a quality item, and I paid about for an SAE set that went up to 7/8, which was the size I needed.
Yeah.
I needed either 22 millimeters or 7/8
yeah, yeah.
to do the job correctly. And I was able to do it. I was trying everything, Ray. I was trying an O2 sensor socket.
No, well, that is 7/8. Yeah, that is 7/8.
Yeah. And I was able to literally sever the plastic head off the old coolant temp sensor
You got to put the new one in though.
Yeah, no. You know, didn't use the O2 sensor socket to put the new one in.
That's the thing. There's another socket, another tool. Let me see if I can describe it to you in a way you can see it in your mind's eye. And picture the crow's foot socket, the crow's foot wrench.
Right.
Now picture a socket, a deep socket.
Right.
With the whole middle of it cut out. So the bottom is like a crow's foot, but it's attached to a socket. Those are used for like power steering lines and all.
I have one.
Phenomenal. Well, no, because it's taller, so you may not be able to get it into your application.
But I had one, and I had to laugh because I had it with me, and I went, oh, I could use that.
Yeah.
Ran, got it straight from the toolbox, and because of the design of the coolant temp sensor with that wide plastic receptacle to accept the clip,
right?
It was barely grabbing onto the socket portion, was barely grabbing onto the nut portion of the coolant temp sensor. And I'm sitting in front of the garage with it and trying to dope it out, and it wasn't working. So I took the new temp sensor, ran it over to Napa Auto Parts yesterday morning,
right,
and I handed it to the guy, and I explained to him my problem. I can't get this thing on, and I need the crow's foot wrench. Mm-hmm. He didn't have those, but he did have that socket, and there he is doing the same thing with that power steering socket, whatever you want to call it, with that tool, and he was doing the same fiddling that I was doing.
Right.
And well, I'm like, don't even bother, dude. I was doing the same thing in front of my garage.
Let's fiddle with the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey, Skip, what's going on? You got a crow's foot problem?
Skipper!
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Doing well, my brother.
I got an echo in my phone here, that's for sure.
Nice. But, we're going to start doo-wopping soon.
I can speak to your two dilemmas, and it happens to be with the same vehicle.
Oh.
Years ago, I had a Fiat X19, and for some reason,
sorry to hear that.
I had a problem with the driver's window, and I had to take it out, and I had to repair the frame, and I had it lying on my wooden picnic table in the backyard. Well, I went out to check on it, and as I'm going out, it sounded like somebody threw a rock over the fence, and this window just shattered and exploded.
Wow.
It turns out it was the radiant heat that built up under the window is what I can figure, and that's what shattered the glass.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my glass story. Now, the same car, to access the distributor on this car, the bulkhead behind your seat had an access panel. But the thing was, to get to the distributor nut, you had to have a 90-degree wrench, which at the time wasn't a thing. So I had to make one out of a wrench, you know, heated it, bent it, and made it fit. And that was the only way to be able to adjust the distributor for timing and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sure somewhere in Italy they have a Fiat distributor wrench. I actually, my Fiat, but my Fiat has the distributors right there, and it's easy because the engine's where it should be. It's in the front. So,
well, this car, I had so many problems with different things on it. The battery box, which was right in the center of the front compartment against the bulkhead, was bolted down, and one day I was driving along. The car backfired. I had an engine fire. I tried to get to the battery. Couldn't get to it. And it was just a mess. The design of it was just totally messed up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. And no, I'll tell you something. Still owning a Fiat, I still kind of am in touch with the world, and I'm, you know, member of one of the clubs. And the X19s have gained a lot of traction over the years. There's people collecting those things, and you would go nuts if you saw what some of these things are selling for these days.
Yes,
oh, I can imagine.
Especially the Bertones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was who designed it. Pininfarina had done the Spider, and Bertone did the X19.
Right. But
yeah, and that seems to be the fact that everything that I've owned and gotten rid of is well worth a lot of money now. And of course, they're gone. Yeah,
I know. Now, you're doing okay. I think you're better off with the collection you have now than having an X1. Yeah, because the X19, you wouldn't be able to get in and out of anymore.
I was going to ask you, Skip, how'd you fall into it?
It's not that far off from the Corvette, It's like fall in and roll out.
Right, right. And then, you just roll and hit the ground.
The good thing about the Fiat X19, like any Corvette that's a convertible and or T-top, I have a lot more access to get in the car. When you put an A-pillar on it that's leaned back and a roof, now it's the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why, through life, the cars change because they just fit fit the ergonomics better. So that's
cool. Well, we definitely can adapt or have to adapt. Or me, anyway. I've done that.
Sure. No, we all do. We all do, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, very cool. Good deal. So stay away from windows for a while, from car windows, because...
Oh, that was my first and last experience. I gave up after that. I realized after that if I needed any glass work, I'd go to Jeff Robinson.
Well, I was going to say, when I had my Challenger, I wanted to just adjust the door glass, and that was a frameless piece of glass. It was big, and I was adjusting it. I was being very careful not to over-tighten the nuts because I know what happens. And of course, I went one... itch of, yep. of and tr- I shattered that window and called Jeff, and he came and he says, well, why'd you do that? I'm like, why'd I break it? I'm like, because I want to clean up glass for 4 months out of my driveway.
Right.
He goes, no, whenever you get it, you call me. I'm like, okay. And then the problem was, then I really paid for the problem because try to find the door glass. I found out it was convertible only. You couldn't use it for a laptop. And I ended up paying, I think, $300 for a used door glass that just had some minor scratch. Yeah, then. That's back in like in the 90s.
And, now, that door glass had a curve to it, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Big curve, just like the GMs did, yeah.
Yeah, because if it was flat, Jeff could have just made that.
Nah, it was curved. So, yeah, I learned my lesson. I paid the price. Well, and now on a Pontiac, every time I did Jeff, I had him come over. I gave pay him for the day, and he just went through the regulators, went through the glass, took everything out. And the guy who knew what he was doing did it, and it was well worth it. So.
Yeah, that's what I miss. I don't have a glass guy down here yet, but... Yeah. I had two guys up there, and it was just something that you need in your tool bag,
Right. That's right. Right. So I've turned a lot of people on to Jeff. So, yeah, very good, Skip.
Awesome. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day, and keep dry. I heard you got some rain up there.
Yeah, it's coming this afternoon. Not yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, we're overcast right now. I'm sitting out on an eye. It's like 80 degrees, but it's not sunny. So, there's no sunshine.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's still better than rain and snow.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Skip.
All right, gentlemen.
All right,
be well.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, on that note, yes, we should say that, today it is 53 degrees outside. It's supposed to be almost 60 today. It's very cloudy. It's going to be raining, they said, by starting at 12 through the afternoon here. Our weather is brought to us, which is powered by Pantano's Gourmet in Hewlett, Uniondale and Garden City Park. And... like I said, rain, and it's going to clear by tonight, and that's it. It's going to be nasty. But the other thing is, next week, you want to do this. It is next week. Yes, it is. The Cruise Through Holiday Toy Drive from Joe Saladino in the town of Oyster Bay. This is going on next week, and it's going to be the 3rd, December 3rd, which is it's going to be December already, Chris.
Yeah.
From 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at John Burns Park in Massapequa. Rain date is the next day, the 4th. This is Saturday, so it'll be the 4th Sunday. And you can come in and bring an unwrapped toy for a kid, and you can drop off letters to Santa, the whole bit, and see Santa. He'll be there. It's the holiday spirit is brought to you by Optimum and Joe Saladino, the Town of Oyster Bay supervisor. And one more piece of little, before we get to your, I see you warming up doing your throat exercises here. Number XP12. This is one that Mike Sims could do. Good Gold. Mondays at 10 a.m. on this station. You know who does it. It's Big Ed Newlands.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays the hits and the forgotten songs of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Forget about the songs. The songs are great. Forget about them. You want to listen to Ed Newlands do the talk-ups because, Mike Sims, Ed is a radio professional.
Sure
and
is.
And that's why he doesn't listen to this show because it would make him throw up, I guess. So, Mondays at 10. So, do we have an honor group of the hour, Chris?
I'm afraid we do on this fine, upstanding Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning leading into a Sunday afternoon. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, if you lost your vehicle in a giant mall parking lot sometime this week, did you park your nondescript silver, white, black late model SUV in a parking lot with a plethora of other nondescript late model bland SUVs? And now it's impossible to find it.
Yeah.
Were you meandering around like a zombie, pointing your key fob at anything that remotely looked like your vehicle? Were you grumbling because you let your wife convince you that it would be better if you took her car to go shopping? And this problem could have been easily solved if you took your classic car instead. You would have easily found that in the parking lot. So if you ever misplaced your bland vehicle in the sea of other bland vehicles during a shopping spree this week or any week, or you know it's bound to happen in the next couple of weeks, then you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week.
Excellent. Very good. Yes. And with that, we'll take care of some business, play some spots, and like our lead song, Can't Get Enough of Your Love, we all need a little bit of love this time of year, and you need to share a little love, spread a little love, put a little love in your heart, as Jackie DeShannon said.
Ooh, look at you.
There you go. And keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHBC.
The master of the segue, Ray Guarino.
Lovely.
Back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motormouth.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here. Everybody on a Sunday, work on your car and listen to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Chris, I didn't get to chat with you.
This is a great show. I'm checking off all the boxes.
Motormouth! Hey, I don't mess with stock. Stock stinks.
He was under a car or under somebody else's car.
I wanted to commend you on your selection of music.
Motormouth!
Cars are for driving, not for eating it.
Even if Ray is talking to Chris on the phone,
Motormouth!
In the same room, I'm doing my show.
Get some advice on getting my lawnmower to start up.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Typically, we don't work on that kind of car.
Yeah, I was going to call in and your guest mentioned my dilemma.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Every Sunday, 12 o'clock, my phone goes, Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
Nobody knows your car's like you.
Ray was here early, but then he had to go through this thing that he does on Sundays.
And what do you have, like 9 people listening to you right now?
Motormouth!
Millions of listeners, 9 paying attention.
Hush your mouth and play some more good music.
You just went for 2+ hours on Thursday talking about cars and stuff. I want to see you do 2 minutes. Because you are a Motormouth, my friend.
I am a Motormouth.
Let's face it.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Yeah, come and get your love. Thank you, Johnny. Tell everybody what it's all about. Yes, Chris, I got a great story for you. Brian just reminded me of this. it reminds me of something that happened with you many years ago. Yes.
I comb my hair.
Yeah, right. No, Matt Gobain O'Brien, like I said, he sent me an order of stuff that I had ordered and some stuff that I did, but I won anyway. And right. And he just asked me, did I open the brown and the gray box that was in with the other stuff? And I said, yeah, I sure did, because he put little things into other boxes. And it reminded me of, how many years was it? What did I get you? I bought you a safe, right? It was like a document safe for some reason.
Oh, a strong box.
Yeah, because
yes.
You needed it. And it was like, but in it, I put other things. And it wasn't until like 8 months later that you actually opened the damn safe and found
yes.
it.
Yes.
So I've learned for myself, like, always open other boxes because you never know what might be in there. Don't be like Chris.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so
that
funny.
Was hilarious.
You had given me the shirts or something.
I don't even remember what
back
they
in
were.
Back in June, I just found in the bag there are two Matco scrub brushes.
Oh yeah,
your fingernail.
See, there you go. That
thank
was like
you for
what,
those.
2 months ago, right? Right.
Yeah, I just used. I was like, holy smokes.
Uh huh. So yes, Brian, I did open the box. Yeah, and Brian sent me a couple of cool matchboxes too that were needed.
Cool.
A GTO and a Grand Prix. Cool stuff. I mean, like, you know what it is? When you have the addiction of buying all sorts of this crazy, you want to share it with your friends, and that's what my friends do for me. They share it with me, and it's a wonderful thing.
You all share in your addiction. I love it.
Hey, you know, we played the celebrity chase spot. You'll hear that for another year on the station. That's great because Mike is upping it.
But, nice.
But I was working on Mike's Buick last week, and there was an issue, some runability stuff, which it looks like it's fixed, which was great. I still don't know why it happened in the first place. That was that weird dwell thing. But then Mike told me the dome light was staying on, so we had to pull a fuse, and then the heater wasn't working. So I said, okay, let's look at the heater. It kept popping a fuse. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I disconnected the wire to the blower motor. I was afraid that it was going to be like a seized blower motor that was causing right. a heavy load and popping the fuse. So I disconnected it, and I used a power probe. This is when you want to use the power probe, because right. by connecting it to external battery voltage, you can now induce with the plug separated, you have the piece of wire that goes right to the fan. You put the power probe on that plug and induce 12 volts, and you see if the fan works.
Got it.
Separate from the rest of the circuit. And it did. I said, okay, and it wasn't making noise. It wasn't, acting funny. I said, the fan is good, so the problem is somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so we started going backwards in the circuit and found that just using a test light, whenever I would put the, statically, I had voltages where I should have it and not have it. Put the heater switch on, and boom, it would blow the fuse. I'm thinking, could it be a bad switch?
Switch, yeah.
Kinda,
that would stink.
Kind of odd, but, then I looked at this diagram, the schematic, and it's so simple. Voltage comes in from the battery, comes into the fuse box, through the fuse, goes to the switch, and then it branches, it goes through the bulkhead connector out to the firewall, and
right.
then it branches to two spots. One wire goes right to the fan, and the other one goes to the four prong connector on the blower motor resistor.
Got it.
So when I disconnected that, I think what we have is a short in that harness, because with it disconnected, it didn't blow the fuse. When it connected, it did. So now I have another power probe tool that I broke out, and I haven't used it yet. I've been reading the manual. It's a short finder. Short and open circuit finder. So I'm going to try and diagnose that.
There's sometime in the morning I wake up, I need someone to find my shorts too.
Yeah, I know. They're usually under your slippers, right, where you kick them. So, anyway, we're going to try and diagnose it with that and see if that... That means opening up a harness now and finding out what happened and why it happened. And
that, to me, is your chase... Personally, I mean, I want to know how this ends.
Don't get me wrong.
But that, to me, is chasing your tail. If you're going to, I find that incredibly hard to believe, and it would probably be the last place I would look. Like, I'd look at the switch first.
Right.
Like, you know that's where it's making the contact. You know that that's what's moving about. Those wires haven't moved in 40 years. You really think a short is going to establish itself in that?
No, you're right. And I still want to disconnect the switch and then apply the voltage and see if it blows the fuse, because that takes the switch out of the line. But taking the switch out of the line also takes everything after it out of the line, because that's how the... That's where the, so you still don't, it's not a smoking gun by just disconnecting the switch. Mm-hmm. You know, it just means something at the switch or further down the line, which I already know, and I know it's not the motor. I know it's not the end of the line. It's somewhere between the fuse box and, you know, and the outside of the car. So, and you say, well, okay, so how does a wire like that get a short or a ground? Like, good question. It's been wrapped in a harness, like you said, for 40 years. Like, what is going on? I don't know. But something is doing it. We know there's a problem. It blows the fuse. And I happen to be under the dash. And with this car, it's the only Buick in the world without a tilt wheel. I don't know why. It's fully loaded, but it doesn't have a tilt wheel. You have to lay on the floor. Now, the car is on the lift, on the two-post lift, right?
Right.
The problem is you can't open the doors all the way because of the big columns of the lift. This is when having a lift is not your friend. So you're in the car, on the floor, you know, feet up on the seat, one on the dash, your head is up under the brake pedal because the fuse box is in the upper left-hand corner. Great position.
Of course it is. Yeah, tucked way up above the kick panel.
So
yes.
There I am looking at this, and as I apply... The turn the switch on with my right hand, I saw the fuse. It just glowed. It started glowing red, and it went red, went poof. It was the coolest thing in the world. I want to take a video. Yeah,
but it's such an annoying thing. It's now it's a dead short.
And that's a 25-amp fuse.
Wow.
So something is shorting. So I know there's some kind of... Now, what would short inside the switch? You know, it's just... It's got four positions, and what's going to happen in there? I don't know. Now, the problem with that is the switch, luckily, is on the lower part of the dash in that car.
Yes.
Okay, it's not like my Pontiac where it's up top. But this car has AC, so there's a whole AC track that goes under the dash, and it has an aftermarket radio in a box screwed up under there, too. So all that has to come down.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
Unless I can craftily get around to the back and find the switch and just disconnect it. I don't know yet. I don't know.
All right. Just to deduce this real fast between you and I, because no one's listening.
No.
What was the last thing you touched? I'm thinking of Mikey T here.
Right.
What was the last thing that was touching the vehicle before the short happened? Do you know?
Well,
or was the short always there and Mike was just...
No, it wasn't, because I know the AC worked in the car. I'd use it, and it's all on that blow motor switch. The last thing that happened was anywhere near there was a brake conversion done by a guy down the block where the car retains the four-wheel drums, but it was changed from a single to a dual-power master cylinder and booster. So
it's a 68.
It's a 68, but it still has four. Yeah, a lot of Pontiacs still have drums. In 68.
Oh, no, drums. Even I'm thinking 69. When you said single pot master cylinder, I was thinking it should have a dual pot.
Actually, you know, it might have had a dual. 69. You know, it could have had, I'm sorry, it could have had a dual, but now it has dual power. Right. Maybe it was manual. It was probably manual brakes before.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, there was somebody in that general area.
Uh-huh.
Now, what could he have done? I mean, I'm looking at the harness where it comes out. The harness comes out on the, it's the drive side, the far left side of the firewall.
Yeah, right under the master cylinder.
To the right of it, kind of, and low.
Yeah.
And then that harness goes above the master, and that's all free and clear. There's no kinks. Like, yeah, I don't think you know, it doesn't look like it had been crushed. It looks fine.
Something's pinched.
But somewhere in there is, and now that harness now has to be opened up. But I'm going to use this short finder. I'm going to use this Power Probe short finder and see if I can track it. I want to see how, and this is my first time using it, so I have to learn, you know, my own chops on it too, and I'm curious if it can really detect, you know, precisely where a short is.
That's interesting. I would really love to know the answer to this one. This is
I'll keep you posted, because it's curious for me too. So
we'll I'm having a similar issue with that coolant temp sensor I put in the tracker. I went to go fire it up, and the temperature gauge swung all the way to hot. Bang. Yeah. Like I just started it up,
uh-huh.
and so you know the engine was not warm at all,
right?
But the temperature gauge would, and I just let it run, just to see if it was what it was going to do, and it did everything it was supposed to do. It's just now my needle is pinned hot.
usually, you know, like with a fuel gauge, that would indicate like an open or no ground.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking the same thing, but I didn't.
You didn't use Teflon tape on it, did you?
Did I who?
Teflon tape on the sensor.
No.
Good. Because that needs to ground through the engine.
Well, okay. It's funny because it has three wires running to it. If it was an older coolant temp sensor, I would think if it had only one
wire. One, and the ground is through the body, right? So this could have a separate ground.
Right. Yeah. This has three. So it could be a connector issue. It's like we talked about because that connector was a little fugazi. Or I don't know if it's a bleeding the coolant issue because believe it or not, the only way to get at that coolant temp sensor was I had to remove the bleeder screw that was right next to it.
Okay.
I had to remove it to get that clawfoot on there to make room. Yeah.
Right.
Because I couldn't go over the bleeder screw.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I didn't top off the, because I got a little dribble of coolant out of there. So I figured, man, don't bother.
Yeah.
But now I may have to. Now I may have to top off. I don't know. I don't think I lost a lot. If I lost half a cup.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would be enough to...
You know, some engines are prone to airlock. My Fiat is like that. If I drain that system and refill it, I know. And because the radiator is lower than the top of the engine.
Right.
For the hood height. So and the radiator needs to be higher. So they tell you in the factory service manual, jack the front of the car up until rear bumper touches the ground. Like, they really have to... Like, no, I'll use a coolant. I'll use a vacuum extractor. Crazy.
Make it a sculpt, but you're out of the car.
Hey, the other thing that worked, that back to this other stuff. Again, 516-572-7440 if you want to talk. The other repair I did audio-wise was, I talked about that receiver I was working on about a week ago, and Paul helped me with this, gave me some great advice. It was the STK chip. That solved the problem. That receiver is now back in service.
Really?
That power amplifier chip.
Son of
yeah.
a gun. Oh, wow. Right. What was it doing before? Refresh my memory. What was it doing before?
Stereo receiver. It's a Sansui receiver, and it sounded like one channel had a blown speaker or a bad speaker. You'd switch it to one side, sounded great. The other side was garbled. So if you switched the speakers, now it followed. It wasn't the speaker. It was actually the output of that amplifier. That channel had one of the transistors must have. And I just learned something. I'm following a new guy on YouTube. He's got a channel. He's out of Iowa. Does a lot of stereo repair at his shop. And he was saying on some of these receivers, you look that don't have the chip, like this Kenwood that I'm working on now. You look at the transistors and look at the legs. He goes, the legs will start to blacken. He goes, as it's problem the circuit board, they'll start to blacken from heat and other things, and you'll see the black coming up the legs of the transistor. That's the sure sign, like, change that component. So now I got to get in there with a magnifying glass and look
Actually very cool. Yeah, because a lot of times you don't have a visual aid when it comes down to any of these.
Well, and that's like what I was saying. This
problems.
Integrated amp I'm working on now. First thing you look for is caps. You look for electrolytic caps because they go bad and they do everything from just swell to blow up, and they all look great. So some people say, well, just change them all. Well, that's not easy. That's easier said than done sometimes. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's true.
That's
one of those jobs, though, you do better as you do more of them. If you practice, you can knock them out no problem.
Yeah.
I know I'm pretty good at it.
Well, I'm going to say that's not even the issue. I've been doing this kind of work for many, many years, so the work isn't the problem. You just don't want to, you know, if you want to go to something that you hope is going to make a difference instead of just sitting there killing your time, and if you're doing it, you know, for money, for work, now you want to make sure that you're not just, you know, killing hours of needless time.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, if you're doing repairs on the clock.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You sure can. You don't want to go over. That's why I always said, I'm glad we do this show on the radio, because if I had to do this for a living, if I had to do mechanics or technological service, I'd starve. I would starve.
Right, right.
But I have found something very interesting. Do you want to take that? Go ahead, take it.
I found something interesting, too. It's a flashing blue light. We say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Happy continuance of Thanksgiving weekend.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Same to you. What's happening?
Robert.
You guys have a good Thanksgiving with the family?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everything was good. You know, living the suburban lifestyle. You know how it is.
Yeah, we didn't travel this weekend. It was nice.
Good.
Yeah, we all stayed put, too, right? Right.
Yeah, you're not on the road on this Sunday. It's
found another good sipping whiskey, so I was happy. I had my nice little...
Oh, man, that worked.
Yeah, it did.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. I learned that I got the tip for the UD, too, because I had a bottle there, and I was sipping some over there. So I kind of bought my own bottle, and I think, yeah, this is good.
So I got a question for you guys.
Okay, shoot. What do you got?
The O2 Suburban.
Okay.
I changed the lift gate latch, and it has a – that's for the door and the window when they work in unison.
Right.
Right.
The window push button and locking mechanism failed, of course, after I typed everything up a week later.
Uh-huh.
Right. So the locking mechanism that unlocks the window itself, but the door can stay closed, that failed. So I ordered the GM part, GM Direct, if you will.
Yeah.
It came in 14 parts. I have no idea how to assemble it.
Wow. Yeah, you did that. You know, what I'm thinking, Bob, is a lot of times on the newer vehicles, it's not necessarily the component you think it is. It the body control module for that system is, and there are many times that's what the fault is the BCM. But the way to find that is to use a scanner that can actually, like Joe would say, have roll call and say, okay, who's here? Present, present. And the one guy didn't raise his hand, like, okay, you're for the window. Oh, you're the window controller. How do you like that?
The thing is, the window that raises separate from the door is mechanical.
Oh, mechanical.
So it's 20 years old. It doesn't owe me anything.
Okay.
I just don't know how to.
So you need
to go to YouTube.
So this is like the mechanical window winder that you're trying.
Mechanical push button on the exterior of the Suburban tailgate.
I would say this: if you know a guy in a body shop, in a good body shop, they fix this stuff all the time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, those are, if you don't know somebody, get in touch with us off air. Yeah, send me an email, and I can refer you to somebody local who's very, very good.
I didn't understand why. You know, when have you ever seen the push button lock mechanism or the key lock mechanism for a passenger or driver's door not come complete?
It's odd. Yeah, I had to change that on my FJ, and I did get a complete. The problem I had with that was this electronic module, and they wanted, Toyota wanted like hundreds of dollars for this thing, $300-$400. I found a guy in Miami who rebuilds them, and for $99 plus like a $50 core charge, he sent it up. I popped it in. It worked. I sent him back my core. He credited me back. I'm like, wow, that was. And that's what I've always said now with, as cars are going to be restored that are in the 80s or 90s or 2000s, the electronic modules and the body control modules, all that stuff is going to be the logjam.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that there's guys who are starting to restore and rebuild some of this stuff. I guess, latches are probably easier than BCMs because there's a circuit board, but yeah.
Well, pricing out a body control module for the Suburban, if you will.
Uh-huh.
It's over $1,000, and then it has to be programmed.
Right, that's right.
Oh gosh, wow.
it's insanity.
Yep.
That's
how it works.
Well, I'm going to get back to making the breakfast sandwiches for the girls.
All right. Check our social media, Bob. Check Motormouth Radio out on Instagram, and you can see check out the rice balls and the soup that we made this week, and tell me how you like that, because I think it'll make you a little hungry.
Well, I had a question earlier on, real briefly. What meat did you use for the meatballs?
For the meatballs, we use a mixture of beef and pork, just like when we make Italian meatballs. Put some parsley, salt, pepper, egg, onions in there, oregano, a little oregano, just like we make regular meatballs. And just did. But I found that a melon baller, I told my wife, I said, we got to get something small to form these little meatballs. And a melon baller that you scoop out melon, I put a picture on there. That made the perfect size for those Italian wedding meatballs.
Perfect.
Look how much we learned from you guys.
Yeah, hey, listen, we got to eat, right?
Hey, another great year. Thank you for
thanks, Bob.
Another great program. We have much to be thankful when we listen to you.
Yeah. All right, Bob. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Bye,
thanks,
guys.
Bob.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Bob from Rockville Center, of course, our great friend. So
yes. supporter of this fine program.
Yeah, so now you have to fix your you got to find out why your car is hot. That's going to be an interesting thing to follow up on.
That's what I'm doing after I take these headphones off is definitely going to figure that out.
Okay.
And you know what? It may be because it's not a, what would you say, a coolant temp sensor that's a name brand.
Oh, boy. Well, I didn't want to go there.
Yeah, I did.
You know what?
I was going to order another cheap one, and I went, nah, not this time. I'm going to order a good one.
You can check the resistance through the pins, but you need to know, like, a reference what they should be.
I know, and that's what I was reading about that. Now, it's easier just to order another one.
Well, yeah, but this way you can verify. You know, it's always nice to know. You know, it's nice to verify, but
no, it's just nice when it works.
Well, it is. But now, like in this case, the first thing I'm thinking is like, okay, you either have a wiring issue, either you did something, you puffocated a wire when you were taking it all apart, or the sensor is faulty.
Right.
That's
and I'm going to look at the wire first, just like we talked about. I was saying you shouldn't do. I'm going to do it because I messed with it.
Right.
So I'm going to look at that first, and if that checks out, then I'm going to attack the. Oh, I want to bleed the system, and then check the wires, and then see what happens. That's really it. It's going to be it's just simple stuff right now, and then I'm off to the local automotive chain store to purchase another one.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Just as for a name brand. But it's the trials and tribulations of driving junk.
Yeah, yeah. Because again, if you can get a schematic or a diagram of that switch, if it like on the ground issue, if you know probably it's a black wire that's ground, you could just supply your own ground at that connector, and then if your gauge works, you know, okay, you got a faulty ground.
Yeah, good point.
And then you can just make a jumper ground or whatever, and you know. Or just jump on the ground and go, whatever you like to do. It's all fine.
Yeah. And it's so funny because you start to go through your head and try and figure out, did I do everything right? Did I put everything back correctly? Because that's what I was thinking. Like there was something I missed. But going through it, there was nothing I missed. So so it's on to new adventures.
Well, something is amiss.
like this program, like your co-host.
Yeah, well, you know. So yeah, people should stay tuned and follow the fascinating foibles of Chris's tracker, so we know where you're going to end up with that.
So I can go get my Christmas tree because it's the only vehicle I have with a roof rack.
Oh wow, the Explorer doesn't. Yeah, cause it's
doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. So the Explorer doesn't have a roof rack. My Mazda doesn't have a roof rack. I can't put it in the back of the Chrysler. So.
Yeah. Well, you could hang it out of the trunk and probably fit.
By the way, speaking real fast, Chrysler's been running fantastic since I beat up the carburetor with the screwdriver upon your advice.
Those Hollies love a little bit of B&D on a Sunday afternoon. I tell you, they are they're just stout fellows.
My Chrysler was my parts getter all day yesterday, so it was
cool.
It was very cool. Yeah, it was a great day for it, too.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
All right. So as we get out of here, what do we tell the people in the parking lot waiting to follow me home and have some wedding soup and rice balls?
Don't follow us home, at least not from the smell of the rice balls.
Right. But I'm going to go have some right now. All right. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, we'll be back next week with more Motormouth Radio. And maybe you guys, who knows? I don't know. We'll let you know. Chris?
Yes.
We'll see you then.
See you, bye.
All right, 90.3 WHBC out.